Hi guys, it's Tony Robbins. You're listening to Habits and Hustle. Crush it.
Before we dive into today's episode, I first want to thank our sponsor, Therasage. Their Tri-Light panel has become my favorite biohacking thing for healing my body. It's a portable red light panel that I simply cannot live without. I literally bring it with me everywhere I go. And I personally use their red light therapy to help reduce inflammations in places in my body where, honestly, I have pain. You can use it on a sore back, stomach cramps, shoulder, ankle. Red light therapy is my go-to. Plus, it also has amazing anti-aging benefits, including reducing signs of fine lines and wrinkles on your face, which I also use it for. I personally use Therasage Tri-Light everywhere and all the time. It's small, it's affordable, it's portable, and it's really effective. Head over to Therasage.com right now and use code BEBOLD for 15% off. This code will work site-wide. Again, head over to Therasage, Therasage.com and use code BEBOLD for 15% off any of their products. I think there's a big difference, and we're going to get into this after we talk about the superhero part, but being a true strength and conditioning coach, a fitness mm-hmm. coach, and like a social media fitness influencer, mm-hmm. there's a big difference between the two.
Yeah.
And I think the knowledge and education that, you know, you bring to the table is so vast. And I think a lot of times people get very confused. They don't know what they don't know, right? So especially in today's culture and time, people go on Instagram and they're seeing people who have 10 million followers because they look good aesthetically, but they know nothing and we don't know what they're doing behind the scenes.
Right.
So I want to get into that. I think it's super interesting.
I mean, I think we know what we know in life, right? Yeah. Like there's things that you're exceptional at and there's things that I have an accountant. Like there's there's certain people that I hire that I'm like, this is not my wheelhouse.
Absolutely.
And I don't blame the consumer because what do they know? Like they see an attractive guy or an attractive woman
right.
who looks a certain way, who's putting up content that looks fun, but they're just putting up what works for them. So there's a difference between a coach and there's a difference between a fitness influencer.
Yeah.
I think a coach, you got to get your hands dirty. Like obviously something I'm proud of is, I've trained over 40,000 1-hour sessions. Like that's 25 years of me training. And for years where it was 50, 60 sessions a week, to help keep my lights on.
I'd
Con Ed shut my power down. Like I had Amex shut my cards down. I almost missed 37 consecutive payrolls. Like doing it in New York, like my overhead a year was $2 million just to keep the lights on. Like you go through some tough things when Lehman Brothers craps out, when Bear Stearns goes under, when Goldman is literally sinking and half your business is corporate events because I have a golf space upstairs. Like you got to reinvent yourself and it's tough. Like, so I had to go through hell, but it's still some of the best moments of my life. I mean, the most creative I've ever got in business. I mean, I got a PhD in business from being in that place. It's given me a lot of stuff.
Absolutely.
But I would maybe change a couple of things, but you know, not everything. Some of the pain I had to go through.
I love what you said. Cause I say this a lot that the life skills that you get from fitness from a young age is a microcosm for life in general. Like you learn so much, like you said, like the confidence that you got, the goal setting, discipline, all these things, like how, like you have to be resilient. You know what I mean? Like there's so many things that set you up for success.
Right.
And if, when you take fitness seriously, like you were talking about. Okay, so you said with the nutrition versus exercise, do you think it is that dominant on the nutrition side? Or you think
nutrition's very important, but I know some genetic freaks that can eat what they want and they just have this perfect physique, and I see that happen. But I think it's really understanding macronutrients and the power of calories. Mm-hmm. Where I've changed body composition and gotten people leaner from not putting them in a deficit. And that's always what I strive to do. I do not want to put an actor who's preparing for a role into a deficit unless they've earned it, right? Like, and earning it means like, have you been living at your maintenance calories? You know, how's your digestion? How's your sleep? Like, how much weight do we have to lose? What do we have to do with our body composition? I've changed body composition by just getting people to maintenance calories and cleaning up their nutrition. And then their body becomes this energetic fat burning furnace.
So let's talk about a couple of things. Yeah. So then do you believe that, you don't believe this whole thing about like, oh, we all have genetics and we all have a baseline that we can manipulate?
I think
a
we all have, we all do have genetics. We all do have a baseline, but I think that's not sleeping on hard work. Because
you look amazing.
Thank you. But like, even talking about myself, like, I don't know too many people who work harder than me in the weight room and doing what I do.
What do you do? What's your routine?
I mean, it depends on the time of year, but I mean, I'm training 5-6 days a week. I mean, I probably do a little too much because I play hockey 3 days a week and I run 1 day a week and then I get all my lifting in. I love a power building approach, but I work a lot on mobility. So,
do you work out like how many hours a day?
A couple.
2 hours a day?
Yeah, probably.
Do you take a rest day?
Yeah. I have to. Normally Sundays I like shutting down.
You do?
Just because I'm with the family and it makes sense. I like training during the week because I'm on and I'm working, and like Sunday's kind of the day where I try and disconnect a little bit.
Is it hard for you not to work out? Because like, it's because for me, I have to work out every day because then it's like my frenetic energy has nowhere to go.
Yeah, it is hard. I mean, Sundays are kind of easy because I'm training myself, or maybe it's a Saturday if the day flops. Yeah. But when I'm going 7 days a week, I do notice performance starts dropping and quality starts dropping. And time off's important for someone like you or someone like me who's really, it's easy for us to get in there and do it. It's part of who we are. But most people out there aren't like that. And those people, I try and get coming in with this minimalistic approach. We've seen some incredible progress by taking a minimalistic approach with people.
Right. I think because, like, to your point, not everyone's fanatical, right? So it's about what can you do? Because what I find also, people do what they like to do, not necessarily like
what they want to do.
Right, right. So if you're, people always say, what's the best thing to do? The thing that you're actually going to do, right?
Oh, 100%. I mean, I have a friend of mine who helps me, like, I'll turn to my buddy, the muscle doc, Jordan Shallow. Yeah. I'll turn to him a couple times a year and I'll be like, write me a program. I can't, I'm too close to this right now.
Yeah.
He's like, I got you. And he'll put some stuff together to me and I'll be like, oh, that's interesting. That's interesting. It gets you out of your comfort zone. I write so many programs that, like, even for myself, I'm too connected to my own emotions and myself. So I like getting people to put things together that I trust and that'll challenge me. Not just from a strength standpoint or a cardio standpoint, but how about the way that we move?
Right. The movement patterns again.
So important.
So important. People don't talk about that.
Nope.
You know, you said something also that was interesting because normally coaches like you are not they're not people who like cardio. They don't believe in cardio. They think cardio would burn muscle mass.
It can.
Right?
It can.
But you're doing cardio. You're running.
I enjoy it.
Right.
So for me, like I in the wintertime, I belong to this great hockey club 3 minutes from my house, and I have a group of guys that we play. That's like a league.
Three,
and it's
three times a week you play?
Oh yeah, I play Tuesday mornings at 6:30. I play Friday mornings at 7 a.m. and I play Saturday mornings at 7 a.m. It's awesome. It's so much fun. And then Mondays, I've been doing like some tempo work on the motorless treadmill that my buddy Derek Hansen, who's a world-renowned running mechanics coach, put together for me.
That's hard to do that one.
Yeah, but it's more like it's quick burst, so it's not like so taxing. I mean, we're doing like 10 seconds, 8 seconds, 6 seconds.
Oh, wow.
Doing some tempo runs. It's more about the elasticity and getting the body to fire, and that makes me feel good. If I was going out and I was doing like long runs, I think that's...
So you don't do that?
I do, but not during hockey season.
So do you not think that those long runs, like, what's your opinion? Like, as you age, right? Like, for like 40 and over or 30, whatever, that's not breaking down a lot of lean muscle mass.
It can.
And look at the bodies of a runner versus the bodies of someone who is resistant training.
There's no arguing that.
Right?
There's no arguing that. But I also understand that people enjoy what they enjoy.
Do what they do, right? What they like to do.
So if you want to go out for a 3 mile run once or twice a week, like, do the resistance training. Like, make sure your protein's high enough to where you're not going to have that muscle breakdown. Start paying more attention to nutrition. You know, avoid this fasted runs in the morning because that'll, you know, potentially break down more muscle. Get some amino acids in your body. Like, do things that are going to keep you from breaking
down. Okay, wait, you're saying a lot of stuff. So fasted cardio, I was going to say to you, what do you
think? I'm not a fan of fasted cardio. If it's a bodybuilder that's doing low steady state that I'm okay with it. But most people out there, they're fasting and their performance is dropping. So I never want to have any, and it depends what type of cardio totally are we doing. True. Are we doing cardio for just fat burning? Or are we doing cardio for performance? They're two different things. Like I go in for a VO2 test and it's telling me that my optimal fat burning range is at 127 beats a minute. That doesn't mean I'm going to live at 127 beats a minute all the time. Like,
right.
I got to get into the 160s. Like, yeah. I have to train in different zones. Like, I have to do that if I want to be a well-rounded athlete. But I also have to understand that you can't keep throwing stress on stress on stress. You keep throwing all these great things, all these great exercises, all these great modalities into a pot, like it doesn't, like you could take 20 of your favorite ingredients. If you throw it in, it might all at once taste like shit. Yeah. Like it's not gonna, you know, excuse me for saying, but like, no, these are right. Great ingredients. They're great exercises. At a certain point, like we're doing too much. And that's what I find is a big problem with some of the type A's. Well, hold on. I want to be doing this and that. I'm like, dude, you got to slow down. It's too much. Your body's going to just, it's going to tap out at a certain point.
So how do you know when that happens? Right. So like, for someone who is a type A personality,
right.
I have a friend who is, what do you say to them? What's the best way to train that person?
I think we got to assess how are they responding to the training stimulus. If you're turning around and you're doing what you're doing and you're waking up every day and you feel great and your energy level's high and you feel like you're getting stronger and you're in a good place, well, it ain't broken, right?
What if you're tired though?
If you're tired all the time, then I think we got to assess.
But that's life, right? Life's tiring.
It could be. Are you tired from the hour and a half that you're training? Are you tired from the fact that you're going to bed and sleeping only 5 hours? Or maybe your sleep quality's down, or maybe your nutrition's not where it needs to be. Maybe you're not getting enough calories in. Like there's so many, I can't even give that advice because there's so many questions I'd have to ask.
And also, like, I think now everything is very personal, right? So when people ask these questions, like, it's very hard to know without knowing the person, right?
Yeah.
Like some body types, and I don't care what anybody says, I know if I don't do cardio, my brain doesn't turn on. Like, that's really what gets me really focused and alert and gives me more energy.
Yep.
And I need, my body type does better with cardio. Like I keep,
I think I love weight. Cardio. I mean, I think
I can maintain weight better that
yeah,
way.
Yeah. I think it's fantastic. I just think that when you also do resistance training,
I do.
Right.
But I don't love it. Like I love cardio. I don't get the same high from it as I do for cardio.
Cardio gives that high. It really does. I mean, when you're out there and you're sweating and there is a feeling off of that we love. I mean, there's something to be said about that. And I don't, you know, I just,
that's why I do it. Not because I love being on a treadmill.
I do it
because I need that. That's what gets my endorphins going.
100%.
With weight training doesn't do it, even though I know intellectually that's what really helps build lean muscle mass, especially as you age, right? Like, I find it hard. I'm sure you get this question. I'd like to ask you actually the most common questions that you get from people.
Yeah.
Because this is one question I think most people ask, and I'm curious. How do you build lean muscle mass as you age? Because it gets harder and harder. And then besides like this, don't give me the basic like, oh, resistant train, eat protein. Okay, well, let's say we're doing those two things.
No, I think it's mindset. I think people start giving up. They start tapping out. Mm-hmm. And I've seen some incredible things by very seasoned people. Seasoned's my way of saying that's their, as they're older than we are.
Nice euphemism for old.
But like they're very seasoned. And but no, it's like you're getting older. I'm like, okay, like my body comp, like I shot the cover of Muscle and Fitness last year. Like my body comps is good, if not better.
You did?
Yeah, it was my second one for them. And I've done probably a dozen covers. I did Men's Health, I think 3 years ago. Like I've been on a lot of, I've been on 12 covers at least. So
For
me to be able to keep hitting that as I'm 45 now.
Like, that's amazing.
Oh, thanks. So
I told you this. Like, you do look amazing.
Thank you. But what has changed for me? Let me answer that, because I think that's going to help. The days of throwing in frivolous activity when I would just go for a 12-mile run because I just wanted to listen to an album or like something like that. I was like, oh, I'm just going to go run 12 miles. I would just do that. Or, you know, throwing in, you know, oh, I'm going to golf on this day, or oh, hockey. Now things got to be a little bit more planned. And I think it's helpful for me when it's a little bit more planned, because if you just keep throwing those ingredients in that pot at a certain time, like I said, it's going to start tasting funky. And that's the human body. And that's what I have to think about differently. So it's understanding that, all right, if I squat, if I back squat this week, like, should I be doing heavy deadlifts 3 days later? Well, if I'm playing hockey, my low back's going to be pounded. So how are my hips and my back going to respond to that? You start thinking about things differently rather than 20 years ago. I was like, oh yeah, I can handle it. Like, it's fine. Like, your body just doesn't recover when you make stupid decisions the way that you used to recover. But,
okay.
But I'm finding I'm still able to put muscle on. I'm still able to get stronger. I'm still able to hit PRs. I'm still able to do-
How? Tell us how.
I'm still-
You're doing a lot of cross training too, which is good, right?
Yeah, but I'm also focusing a lot on strength and power, which a lot of people don't like doing because they get afraid of those words.
Right. I heard that power- My friend's a mind pump. Do you know the mind pump guys?
I do know them. Yeah.
That like you can use power lifting techniques to really increase your muscle mass
100%.
For people, right?
Yeah, I think neurologically it's going to help out. I also think that we need to be strong as we age. And it's even, like, it's funny because like a lot of these young kids who are getting into this stuff, like I'm watching them, it's kind of ironic. They're following 40-year-olds like, how did so-and-so train for the Olympia? And they're doing 12 reps and 15 reps. And I'm like, guys, stop with that. Like, work on muscle endurance a little bit. You got to get strong. And strength is something that I think we start becoming afraid to focus on as we get older because we think we're going to get hurt. And we can if we're not.
That's
but
true.
But it's making a good decision. Like, if you can't touch your toes, like, am I going to have you conventional deadlift? Like, the answer is probably no. Like,
right.
Probably no conventional deadlifts are going to happen. But I'm going to work on your hinge. I might get you into some sumo deadlifting with the kettlebell. I might then get you into a trap bar as we improve mobility, and I'll get you stronger at those movements. The mistake becomes that, like, I'm watching this guy here, Jim Smith, who can't even touch his kneecaps, is trying to get into a full deadlift position and his spine is flexed and he's loading dysfunction. So I think it's also people out there understanding what exercises should you be and should you not be doing. If you can't externally rotate the arm past here, how the hell am I going to shoulder press? Standing, I'm going to have to arch back and lean. Now I'm in my spine. Now I'm pressing from here. All the tension's going in my lower back. There's a cost of doing business. So it's understanding this stuff is how we can train hard and heavy as we age. And we could do this with some resiliency, most important word that I use, and either some consistency or intensity. Because if we're consistent,
right,
that's fantastic. But as we get consistent, we want to play with intensity.
This episode is brought to you by the Yap Media Podcast Network. I'm Hala Taha, CEO of the award-winning digital media empire, Yap Media, and host of Yap Young and Profiting Podcast, a number one entrepreneurship and self-improvement podcast where you can listen, learn, and profit. On Young and Profiting Podcast, I interview the brightest minds in the world, and I turn their wisdom into actionable advice that you can use in your daily life. Each week, we dive into a new topic like the art of side hustles, how to level up your influence and persuasion, and goal setting. I interview A-list guests on Young and Profiting. I've got the best guests, like the world's number one negotiation expert, Chris Voss, Shark Damon John, serial entrepreneurs Alex and Layla Hormozi, and even movie stars like Matthew McConaughey. There's absolutely no fluff on my podcast, and that's on purpose. Every episode is jam-packed with advice that's going to push your life forward. I do my research, I get straight to the point, and I take things really seriously, which is why I'm known as the podcast princess and how I became one of the top podcasters in the world in less than 5 years. Young and Profiting Podcast is for all ages. Don't let the name fool you. It's an advanced show. As long as you want to learn and level up, you will be forever young. So join podcast royalty and subscribe to Young and Profiting Podcast, or Yap, like it's often called by my Yap fam, on Apple, Spotify, CastBox, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.